Hello, welcome to another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Ryan, glad to have you back.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah. I thought maybe I was just going to give this to you full time.
Oh, my gosh. I was having separation anxiety.
Well, they were good episodes. They turned out really well. So
had good guests.
There you go. Well, I'm glad to be back.
Speaking of good guests, we've got two in the podcast room with us today. We got David Brim, and he is the hub plant manager for the Camelsburg Hub, and currently he's at Mitchell and over Salem too. And then Scott Sharp, who's vice president of operations and crop nutrients. So welcome.
Good to be back.
Both returning
morning,
guests. We ought to be good at this one because we recorded it once already.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
We missed the audio.
We did get the audio, but yeah. And then Scott's suggestion was that we just do the audio, or you or somebody said just do the audio and try to match it up to the video that we did have. So, but I think that would be entertaining.
We should do a special episode on that one.
Yeah.
But first...
That'd be a bloopers edition, right?
That's true.
Yeah. You'd make that one from another episode you've been on.
When he unplugged himself.
Yeah, I would.
And one of the funniest lines we've ever recorded about the fertilizer market, too. So anyway, go ahead.
Question of the day. We got to start off with the question of the day, though. Dave, you can start us off. This is an easy one. What is your favorite sandwich?
Well, if anybody's ever eaten with me before, you know it's a dress breaded tenderloin. And I'm not talking about a little measly thing. I want one that sticks out over the bun where you need two buns to, you know, actually have two sandwiches out of it. If you want one, go to the Railroad Cafe, Mitchell, Indiana. They got the best.
The Railroad Cafe.
Yep.
Mitchell, Indiana.
He's hoping his next one's free for that little pitch.
It ought to be.
Yeah.
I think we got like 18,000, 19,000 listeners. They're going to be coming in from all over to come.
It's a good one.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been there. It's really good.
All right. That's going to be a hard one to top.
I'm not going to top it, but mine would be an Italian sausage, grilled onions, peppers.
Straight up.
Doing it yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Don't trust anybody with a work of art like that.
That's right.
Ryan?
I like a Cuban sandwich. I really do.
Just a Cuban sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I like the bread and the mustard and different kinds of pork. And you got to support the pork industry.
That's true. Well, I'm going to blow it then because I was going to go with just like a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. And I'd always got them plain for years and years and years. And just recently, I tried this called Chick-fil-A sauce.
Ooh.
Was that a ball game? Yep. They had chicken sandwiches.
Well, welcome to the future.
Who knew,
right?
Everybody
did.
Well, why didn't somebody tell me?
Well, I don't know, but I'm not sure they kept that from you.
That was at a ball game, and this nice lady, older lady, she didn't want the whole sauce pack, and she didn't want to waste it, so she asked if I wanted the rest of it, and I was too polite to say no, and I was like, well, sure. So I went ahead and dipped half a sauce pack on there, and it was life-changing.
I'm pretty sure my kids would go through Chick-fil-A just to get that sauce and a straw. I think.
I went back to the stands and sat back down there and asked folks around me. I was like, you ever tried this chicken filet sauce? And they were like, Sal, they say they sell that in the JC store by the tub. And I didn't realize that.
Right. So, yeah. It was profound.
It was.
To you.
It was good.
Well, good. Good. I like to see when people are enlightened a little bit and get caught up.
Yeah. So much for the plain sandwich.
Yeah. Good.
Well, all right. Dave, Scott, we got a big project going on.
We do.
A very big project in Washington County. And it is a new plant being built. So tell us a little bit about that. What's going on down there?
Okay. Well, let Scott go ahead and start.
Well, we're building a new facility just outside of Campbellsburg, and it's going to consolidate Mitchell, where David's at, and then Salem, and into one facility. Greenfield, meaning we started from scratch. It was a greenfield, and this will be our third greenfield project in probably the last 7-8 years, I suppose. Oh. So somewhat modeled as far as its layout, similar to the one we did in Shelby County at Boggstown six, seven years ago. But it'll have a dry fertilizer building, about 4,500 tons. We seed and crop protection warehouse. and bulk seed there. That'll be a new addition to some of that. We've had treated seed available, but it always came from someplace else.
Okay.
Yep. There at Mitchell and then shop and office. It's situated. We bought 40 acres. We won't use near all of it. Well, I think we're stoning something like 13 acres of.
It's a lot of rock.
Yeah, it's a lot of rock.
How much does 13 acres of rock cost? Do we know?
A lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It has two commas.
We'll give those listeners at home time to get out their pencils and see what that could be.
At least seven digits, right? Yeah.
That makes it north of a million. Yeah. Yeah. I remember I got the first.
Just for rock.
They didn't. I mean, they got started, and of course, a triaxle load didn't go very far. You know, 20 tons seems like a lot of stone until you dump it in the middle of a 13-acre field. And I got the first invoice, and it was something stupid, like 4,000 tons of stone or something. I'm like, holy.
Yeah, that's a big truck.
Yeah. Yeah, so. But, yeah, looking forward to it.
They look really small when they put about 50 or 60 dump loads out there. They look like little bitty piles when you put them all together.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, one of the drivers is talking about, you know, that's his job. He hauls five loads a day, every day, back and forth. That's all he does.
I'm glad we could employ him.
Oh, good. Yeah, exactly. That's good. Well, we've done multiple ones of these projects before, but we have two facilities that are working today. So what's the mindset behind this when somebody sees that, when our members see that, hey, they're building a new project and spending a lot of money on it? What's the impetus behind this? What spurred this thought?
Well, we get a lot of questions about that actually from customers and stuff like that, wondering why we got two plants. And, you know, we even hear people talk about you're closing plants. And I really like to try to refer to people, we're not really closing things. We're relocating, moving two together to be more efficient. So that's kind of the idea. It's going to be located really in the center of our trade territory that we have. This is a, you know, and I mentioned this before, you know, 25 years ago when we built the facility there at Mitchell, this was an area that we looked at for building the plant then, because it's really centrally located in our market territory, a lot of good farming acres in that area. So that's kind of the idea behind that. We're going to take two older facilities, have served their purpose, but in today's market, they're just really not either one designed to do what we need to do today at the speed that we need to do it. And put them together, and we'll probably gain. Well, we know we'll gain a lot of efficiencies by doing that.
Sure,
I think it's not the reason we did it, but you know, Premier Injection or Premier and White River merged 2.5 years ago, and this will be the first project where we've really merged those two separate companies together as well. You know, in terms of employee group and those types of things. So I think that I think that's a positive as well.
As far as the new facility, and David, you mentioned the speed of what we're doing, and somebody might look at those other two facilities and say they look just fine, right? I mean, but explain a little bit about how what the speed can do for you.
Well, just a perfect example today, you know, at the Mitchell facility, I have seven dry tender trucks that I'm wanting to load and do that each and every morning. You know, the capacity we have, which, you know, in 98 was pretty awesome when we built that. Today, it takes me probably an average of 30 minutes to load a truck. So I'm talking 3.5 hours to load every truck. And the new facility will be able to load 120 ton an hour. We're going to drastically cut that down to, you know, 10, 12 minutes a truck. So just the savings a day and time alone for those drivers and the spreaders waiting on trucks and getting trucks loaded will be a huge impact on our daily business of what we can do.
And the other thing that speed does is it allows your radius that you can service to be bigger, because now all of a sudden, you know, there's more drive time, but I'm cutting my load time by X.
Yeah.
And that allows that consolidation to be able to service that same trade area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and the speed of agriculture is so much faster today than it was 25 years ago. So nothing is, adequate to what it used to be. You know,
not many 4- and 6-row planters left.
Absolutely not. No.
No, that's for sure. You mentioned 4,500 ton fertilizer building and liquid facilities. How do you determine how big a building do you build?
We look at sales. You know, that are going to go and through the facility. And we refer to it as turns. How many times can we effectively turn or refill that space? And then you also need to have at least enough on hand. Harold, our CEO, when he says, you know, we want to be able to run hard for 2 weeks, and if the river is gone, you know, we can't get fertilizer, that doesn't stop us. And so we're more than covered there. And we're actually going to increase the capacity of the two facilities that we have now. We'll be up probably 1,000, 1,500 tons additional storage that we do, that, versus what we have today.
Of the two combined.
Correct, yes. And the volume that we anticipate, both of those facilities are much more of a spring market as far as dry fertilizer application. And so we've got it to where we're going to turn the building probably 2.5 times. And that's doable as close as we are to the river. If we were, 50 miles north, 60 miles north, that might be very different. But, it's expensive. We talked about the one in Shelby County, Boggstown. That's a 6,500-ton building. The one we're going to build is 4,500-ton. They cost the same.
Oh, my.
And so, yeah, you want as much storage as possible, but it just becomes a math problem. You know, how much can you afford to spend per ton to create that storage?
Yep. So you've done you're talking about loading the fertilizer out. What about loading it in? Any changes in that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be actually the act out is 250 an hour. The in's 120. So we can basically theoretically we could unload 5 semis an hour. You got to move. You got to do those things. But effectively, we could do 4 an hour.
Yeah, which is 3 times faster than we do today.
Yeah.
Of bringing it inbound.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that makes a big difference too, right? Because if you got smaller buildings, eventually you just run. You have a bigger cushion, right? Because you got more tons.
Well, that, you know, can unload more trucks. Your drivers can make more turns in a day, especially if you go like to the river market, you know, to Jeffersonville or Louisville, those type of things. So your turnaround is even quicker for the drivers. And, you know, obviously, you know, truck drivers want to be in and out as quick as they can anyway.
Yeah. I mean, if we can get an extra turn per truck per day, that's huge in terms of getting product moved.
Yep.
So, on the building itself, when somebody drives by and they say, "Hey, you got thousands of gallons of chemicals there, you got hundreds of tons, thousands of tons of fertilizer there," how do you keep that all contained? So, talk about containment from those products within the buildings and outside the buildings, because obviously we're bringing product in and out, a lot of transferring of things. Mm-hmm. So, what do we do to keep that stuff contained?
It's called diked, right, or contained. And so, you know, in the seed chem building, it'll have a small concrete stem wall. And then the entire building floor slopes to sump pumps, not drains. There's just a sump there if we were to have some type of release. So, you know, it's designed to, you know, our biggest tank, it'll hold, you know, hold all of that. If we lost the whole tank, it would contain that. And then the other thing is the facility is designed. I mean, there'll be a retention pond, and all of the water, the surface water off of that property will drain towards one spot. That'll have a gate on it. So, you know, another form of containment. So really, you got three pieces. You have the actual tank that it's in, then you have the building, and then we have the property.
Yep.
Anything's possible, but it's not very probable that something would leave our property that shouldn't.
Good.
So a lot more just safer for the environment, for the neighbors, for the whole community.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So, never thought of it in those ways. You've got three different ways of containing.
Yep.
So what's a lot of positive things, it sounds like. What's some of the – are there any negative, or what would a public kind of perceive as negative when they're talking about consolidation?
Well, you know, I don't know that it's negative. One of the negative comments we get is, why are we doing it?
Yeah.
You know, why are you taking two facilities that, you know, some farmers feel like it's adequate, which it may appear to be in their eyes, but, you know, as
they
far
don't know
as,
all the unnatural things they, you've done to
no,
make it adequate.
No, absolutely not. absolutely not. And most farmers don't realize each and every day we deliver more products than most of them do in a whole entire year. So we have growers that we service more acres than they farm in the year, maybe 2 or 3 times.
Every day.
So that every day. So they don't understand the concept of what we have to do to make our business work. So I don't really get a lot of negative other than why are we doing it whenever they don't see the value in it themselves, but they will whenever we, you know, operate the process and the facility and have, you know, we can load faster, deliver quicker, have, you know, access to the seed that we don't have on a, you know, ready to go treat basis, you know, so there's a lot of things that we're adding. So there's other than the cost, there's not a ton of negative things to it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, you're moving away from me. I hear that sometimes. Is your
taking my branch?
And I mean, that flip side is we're moving closer to some.
Yeah,
well, that's true.
Yeah,
I mean,
very close to some. A large right. majority of our customers are right in that area, so that makes it an ideal spot. But yes, we are going to be a little closer, but for most of our customers, it's not a 10 to 15 minute difference. Drive from where we're at because
either location.
Yeah, the Mitchell facility is actually on the far western side of our territory already. So just our very western people are the ones that are going to see the difference because, you know, with the Hoosier National Forest, there's kind of a division there anyway. So moving that facility east is centralizing it more to our trade territory.
That's a good point. Good point. You're putting several pieces of application equipment, tendering equipment, all that. Talk to us about your logistics program just a little bit.
Well, as far as the logistics, I'm already heavily involved in that. You know, we're dispatching with Edge and have our you know, trucks be able to see live where they're at on the screen, and it just makes it much easier when you pool all that together. To, you know, a lot of times we'll have like the Mitchell facility will be servicing areas and the Salem facility will be service areas, and they're relatively close together. When you put all those together, which we are currently doing a lot of that today because I'm managing both facilities now. But it'd be so much better to just look at that as a whole concept of all the acres in the area. And, you know, like the weather we've had lately, when we get rained out, I can send 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 pieces of equipment. Yesterday or Monday, I had 6 pieces of equipment up at towards Ellettsville because that was the only place that we'd run and just run a whole bunch of stuff all in one day. You know, so it allows you to do those things. You know, also allows you when you're really busy to kind of divide your people up so you can give more service to more areas. Because, yep. You know, when everybody's running, you want to try to just give as best service you can to as many people as you can at one time. But probably the biggest advantage is you can pool that equipment together. You know, probably find out that we don't need quite as much equipment as we have in the past when we put them all together. Not sure about that yet, but the sprayers and stuff like that, as they get bigger, we can probably be more efficient than we are today.
Well, I think, if you're in regional ag, you understand this comment. If you're not, you probably don't, but we have half of a lot of things.
Yes.
I mean, if we can do 15,000 acres per sprayer and you have 20,000 acres on a business, you have to have 2 of them.
Yep.
Well, most of our facilities have that type of overlap. So when you do consolidate, sometimes you can get rid of some of those halves.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is the opposite of what I think our customers think. While you're getting farther away, you have to have more equipment. And in reality, a lot of times it's less.
Yeah. And today we duplicate everything we do. We got 2 guys loading fertilizer, 2 guys correct. Blending, 2 guys, you know, yep. 2 staffs loading liquid. I mean, so the efficiency we will have, I think, will be surprising.
Yep. Agreed.
So, are you pretty stoked about putting ammonia at your new facility?
I tried to get that done, but it's not going to happen. You know, no, sorry.
Oh, sorry. He didn't throw him too hard.
You know, maybe not that one, but I have heard rumors. There's been rumors about fuel pumps that we're going to have C stores. Do you want to put some of those aside? I guess we'll get a.
Can you put a gun store in? Oh, we're still designing it, right?
Yeah. Well, you know,
restaurant with. Pork tenderloin sandwiches.
I know a guy with pigs.
There you go. Yeah. Well, some of that might be convenient for the community, but you know, don't believe we're looking to do any of those things right now.
No,
you know, fuel and stuff. That's not a busy corridor, so I doubt that's ever going to happen there.
Yeah. Sometimes it's more fun to start the rumors than it is to spread them.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Just doing what we can. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. Somebody told me one time, you're not responsible for what you hear, but you're responsible for what you say.
So. There you go.
So we said it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
We were talking a lot about the facility, and how has the equipment changed? I mean, so you talk about having half of things and the acres, but So how, since, and you mentioned 1990s, how has the equipment changed since then?
Well, obviously everything's bigger and larger. You know, we're moving to all of our, you know, at the Mitchell facility, we've had our sprayers have 90-foot booms. As we're replacing those, we're going to the 120s. Some locations are even going to the bigger than that. So, you know, spreaders, same thing. You spread 60, 80 feet. Now you're getting up 100 feet, 120. So everything is larger. Capacity is larger. The sprayers are bigger. The tanks are bigger. The newer sprayers are 1,600-gallon tanks instead of 1,200-gallon tanks. Tenders, we're going to more and more 24-ton tenders, you know, 5,000-gallon liquid semi-tenders, and I see us doing more of that as we go. I mean, that just makes sense with the product we haul today. You know, you've got to have larger trucks, you know, and when you're chasing after farmers, you know, back, you know, when I started my career, you had guys that wanted to load a fertilizer every day because they had to disc it in, and you go do that 20 acres or 15 acres, they were happy. Today, we got guys that say, I'm ready to spread my fertilizer, and it's all of it. And they can... The whole farm. And they can plant hundreds of acres a day, and they will, as long as you can service it. So the whole concept and the speed, I'd say the speed is what has really changed. And farmers are bigger, you know, as well.
And the technology is a big part of what's just totally different. I mean, sprayers, I mean, I remember my start of my career. Yep. I mean, there was a lot of speed and pressure, right?
Yep.
You know, I joked with an applicator training meeting years ago. It's like, you know, there's more computing power in those machines, those sprayers and spreaders they're driving, than there was on the Apollo missions. I mean, it's just amazing. They drive themselves.
Yep.
They know where they've been. So as they're spraying or spreading, and they've passed over an area it's already done, it shuts off by itself.
Yep.
I was an applicator, but I think I wouldn't mind being one today. I wouldn't have 30 years ago with no air conditioning and speed pressure and foam markers. Sure.
Although when you have a wiring harness problem, pulling that rope out the window was pretty easy to fix compared to today. That's probably the rope. That's the only part that is probably missed is how you repair these things.
We'll have about 50 or 60 listeners that don't know what that means.
Exactly.
When the satellites weren't working, we could still do our job, right?
Yeah, right.
Now we won't even move.
Exactly.
So farmers get tied up on what brand. I mean, you hear it's red or green, right? Or it's but really, I mean, how do you all determine which brand to buy of a piece of equipment?
A lot of it's service. You know, it's not the purchase. I mean, you could buy a Fendt Rogator for sprayer. You could buy a Case Patriot sprayer. They'll be equipped technology similarly. They do similar things. They're the same size. There's some nuances, right? I mean, whether you're a GM guy or a Ford guy, that kind of stuff. Yeah. But as a general rule, they're fine. But you know, when they're 3 years old and we need somebody to work on them, that's really important. Important.
And the service is more important. You know, I made the joke about the rope, but that is a serious thing. All this electronics does take more service.
Oh, most definitely.
I mean, you know, it's not uncommon to have, you know, an electronic issue. The machine's running perfectly today. You start up next morning, it's got something, a sensor or something that doesn't work right. And so you've got to have, and we have companies that do pretty good at showing up and keeping us running. I'd say every day there's a service guy somewhere at one of our locations.
For sure.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess there's four.
Very well could be.
It makes it more convenient for them too, right?
Or I want four of them.
Right, yeah. Yeah, for sure. When your mechanic shows up with a laptop instead of a toolbox anymore, or they tell you to shut the machine down, don't touch anything, I'm getting into your monitor. It's
it is different.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. 100%. So anything else you guys want to bring up about your new facility? Dave, this is your second new facility. So a lot of people, that's new.
It is. Yeah. 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 Most people don't get that opportunity. Over 25 years ago, we done the one at Mitchell, and now we're doing
stuff
this
up.
No. I'm pretty sure I don't have another 25 years left, so this is probably it for me.
What a quitter.
But I do appreciate the opportunity to do this. Premier is really investing in the community, and it's, you know, it shows the commitment to what the company has to our local farmers and our customers, I think.
Well, sure. Sir. Well,
very
said.
Good. That's all I've got, too. Okay. Well, that wraps up another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. If you like what you're listening to, please like and subscribe, and have a good day.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you.